Today's reading is Numbers 5, verses 1 to 10, and it's on page 139 in the Bible. The purity of the camp. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has an infectious skin disease, or a discharge of any kind, or who is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. Send away male and female alike. Send them outside the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them." The Israelites did this. They sent them outside the camp. They did just as the Lord had instructed Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way, and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged. But if that person has no close relative to whom restitution can be made for the wrong, the restitution belongs to the Lord and must be given to the priest, along with the ram with which atonement is made for him. All the sacred contributions the Israelites bring to a priest will belong to him. Each man's sacred gifts are his own, but what he gives to the priest will belong to the priest." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, all. Well, we're continuing our series in Numbers. Last week in Numbers, it was all about organizing the camp. The tribes were counted. The site plan was drawn up. The jobs were assigned. And it was beginning to look like a well-oiled machine. And yet here in our passage, Moses will be told to send people away, to put them outside of the camp three times in the first three verses. I mean, they've only just got everything organized, and now they're meant to be kicking people out. What's going on? Well, as we come to think about it together, why don't we ask for the Lord's help? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the gift of Numbers in all of its peculiarities and complexities. Lord, please open our eyes and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, to see it, and to enjoy you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has an infectious skin disease or a discharge of any kind, or who is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. Send away male and female alike. Send them outside the camp." Now the Lord's saying to the people that if anyone has any of these conditions, they must be removed. Why? Well, we could read in a public health reason, couldn't we? An infectious skin disease, maybe something contracted from a dead body. It could perhaps spread illness throughout the camp. We could go down that medical line, and there'd no doubt be some wisdom there, of course. But it seems in our passage that the focus is less on public health. Notice that it mentions being ceremonially unclean. Now, the ceremonial part there means that we're talking about unclean to participate in the sacred things, in Israel's religious worship. Why? Why did these bodily things make them unable to come near to God? Well, it's because of God's holiness, his total purity, his goodness. To be near to this God, to have him dwelling in your camp, to receive his perfection, his protection, his provision, his care, And to enjoy him was the ultimate privilege and goal. And yet we're told that when things that are tainted, things that are unclean come close to this pure and holy God, these things cannot face him. They can't be in his presence without being completely destroyed. Has everyone ever watched one of those shows like the Great British Bake Off? They seem to have one for every pastime you can possibly think of, don't they? Sewing and acting and makeup and everything. Well, the one that we seem to have caught ourselves on is the Great Pottery Throwdown. Yeah, that's right, competitive pottery. They are scraping the bottom of the barrel, aren't they? Well, in the show, to make their pots, the contestants work the lump of clay like you would dough. They mold it into the shape that they want. They do some intricate design work. And then it's almost ready for the kiln. But there is one final step. And the show dramatically begins to cut between the contestants as time is ticking down. And they're each looking stressed, just standing next to their pot with what looks like a hairdryer. Very odd. But this bit is crucial. The kiln runs at well over 1100 degrees Celsius. And done rightly, as these lumps of clay are brought near to the kiln's awesome heat, they should be transformed by it, made into a useful and beautiful pot. But if the drying process hasn't been done properly, if the clay is tainted by any moisture and not fit for purpose, then when they go into the heat of the kiln, the water inside the clay begins to evaporate. And what happens? It explodes. They're completely destroyed. Well, like anything unclean before a holy God, they cannot stand. Being unclean before the Lord is dangerous. And to make matters worse, this uncleanness is also highly contagious. In Leviticus, we read that it spreads to anything that an unclean person touches. The bed they lay on, the chair they sat on, the animal they rode on. If you touched anything that they had touched, you'd be unclean and contagious yourself. It brings back memories of those early days of COVID, doesn't it? If it's not dealt with, our passage warns us that uncleanness would soon defile the whole camp. And that's a big problem for Israel. Why? Who dwells in their camp? The holy God. And so at first, the Lord's instruction to send those people who are ill, who are unclean outside of the camp, to put them in isolation out into the wilderness, might have seemed a bit harsh. But hopefully now, with God's holiness in mind, we can see that actually it was a loving and generous provision. He's a father who loves his people. He longs to bless them. And so to keep them safe, God was providing a way for Israel to have their uncleanness removed. If they listened to and followed his instructions, the camp would remain clean. And Israel would not be destroyed by God's holiness. And wonderfully, in our passage, as doesn't always happen, they did listen. The first section ends, they did just as the Lord had instructed Moses. Hallelujah. By removing uncleanness, the holy God made a way to dwell among his people. Well, as we move to the second part of the reading then, we shift perhaps into a slightly more familiar territory, something that feels closer to home. The focus moves away from physical, bodily, outer uncleanness, and towards a relational, a moral, a heart issue, if you like, an inner uncleanness. And so if the problem we saw in the first part was that outer uncleanness is contagious and dangerous, perhaps what we see here is that inner uncleanness is contagious and dangerous. Well, let's look at it again together. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way, and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin that he has committed." Note here that sin does relational damage in two directions. Horizontally, it harms the person who's been wronged. And yet vertically, as the sinner fails to uphold that commandment from the Lord to love our neighbor, they damage their relationship with the Lord. Sin leaves us tainted before a holy God. And just as with the outer uncleanness, this inner uncleanness is contagious. If left unaddressed, it could spread, and again, the whole camp could be defiled. We see the contagious threat of sin all around us, don't we? Let's just say, hypothetically, there's a dad in church with, I don't know, a wife and two little girls. Don't know if you can think of someone that might be like that. Well, imagine dad arrives home at the end of a busy week. He's tired and he just wants to sit down. And yet as he walks through the door, one of his kids immediately says, "Dad, Dad, let's play hide and seek." Dad doesn't want to play hide and seek. And yet she's insistent. And dad's lacking in patience. And so again, you know, hypothetically, let's just say he bluntly refuses and tells his daughter off for pestering him. "Go away! Stop!" Well, maybe the daughter is upset. Maybe she storms off, angry. Perhaps in frustration, she grabs the first thing she can find and launches it against the wall, and it breaks. And what is it? It's her little sister's toy. Another little sister is upset and she's angry. And so when mum says, "Kids, come on, it's dinner time, come on in," she storms in, looks at the food and says, "I don't want this, it's horrible, mum." And she storms off. In the course of a few minutes, one sin, one damaged relationship has led to a domino effect. A spreading of sin from one to the other, hurting the entire family and defiling the house. Sound familiar? This inner uncleanness is contagious. And of course, were it left to spread and defile the whole camp, it would be dangerous. Dangerous for Israel, because a holy God dwells among them. So again, God makes a gracious provision to remove their uncleanness. The sinner is instructed to make full restitution, to make right their wrongs. They're meant to pay back all they owe, plus an extra fifth, as a token of their remorse and their repentance. If the camp is to be clean, God's people have to live rightly with each other. And then we read mention of the sacrifice of a ram, which makes atonement for the sinner. The price, the wages of sin, we're told, is death. And yet here, God's provision is to allow a sacrifice, here a ram, to die in the sinner's place. The blood of the innocent to wipe away the guilt of the sinner. So by instructing these things, that the restorative act of restitution and accepting the atoning sacrifice, God has provided a way for Israel's inner uncleanness to be removed. inner uncleanness is contagious and dangerous. But the holy God has made a way to dwell with his people. He's a gracious and loving Father. And yet, as genuinely gracious as those provisions were, we read in the New Testament that those provisions in the law were just a shadow of the good things to come. We read that these laws for ceremonial uncleanness and the animal sacrifices were just there as symbols and signs to point forward to something greater that was coming, something that we have now received. They reminded the people of the profound holiness of God and our desperate need to be clean if we're to live with him. They pointed to the better solution, the gracious provision that God was going to provide, the perfect, once and for all, cleansing sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. When he died in our place, it really did the business. As he walked outside of the city gate to suffer, he was taking our uncleanness outside of the camp so that it would not defile. As he shed his blood as that perfect, spotless sacrifice, that blood was washing our hearts and cleansing us from the guilt of sin. He made us a holy people, fit for purpose, fit to live with a holy God. And so now God has made his home among us. He's made it in us. His people themselves are called the temple of the living God. Uncleanness is contagious and dangerous, but the holy God has made a way to dwell with us, his people. So how do we respond to this in our lives this week? What difference is seeing God's holiness and knowing that we have been made holy to dwell with him going to make for us, for you and for me? Well, I hope, first of all, an incredible thankfulness. When you next sit down to pray and to talk to God, why not give thanks that we're not constantly having to be cut off from his presence because of something we've touched or the fact that we're ill? What about when we gather together next Sunday? We can give thanks that we never need to be afraid of drawing near and close to God because he's washed us clean and made us holy. We're made free to enjoy him. Thankfulness, yes, and yet also we need to respond with a commitment to honour his holiness. It's important that we don't use God's cleansing work as an excuse to be too casual with him, to forget that he is the holy God. The way that we live before him matters, and we should rightly honour him. Not only coming to him with the 1 minute that we can spare if we find one. I know there are times I can be guilty of doing that. No, let's feel the privilege of being his holy people and honor him with our time, or with our actions, and with our praise. And we honor him by how we live alongside each other, never letting sins against one another remain unconfessed and unaddressed, left to fester and do damage. But instead, let's make every effort to make right the wrongs we've done to one another. I wonder if there's anyone here that you need to make right with. Perhaps this week or today, you could do that as a way of honoring your Lord. Let's live well together as God's holy people as we seek to honor him. Uncleanness is contagious and dangerous, but in the Lord Jesus, the holy God has made a way to dwell with his people. Let's pray. Father, you are the holy God. We don't deserve to come near to you. And yet because you love us, you have made a way. Thank you that we have been made holy and clean in Jesus' blood. And we pray that you'll grow in us that thankfulness as we remember we can come to you whenever we want. Help us to live rightly before you as your holy people. And help us to love one another as we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.